yet.
All right, let me go ahead and roll tape right now. Scott Ellington joins us right now. And Mr. Ellington, thank you so much for your time. Appreciate you, sir.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
You know, congratulations are in order on the Person of the Year Award from the Municipal League. Your thoughts on that?
Well, thank you. Yes, I was quite surprised. Very honored that the Municipal League chose to give me that award. It is a very high honor to give. They don't even give it every year, and so I was very excited to learn that I had was the recipient, and found out today at a banquet that I'd been invited to. It stems from my involvement with the opioid litigation, representing the state of Arkansas in the litigation that is ongoing between the state of Arkansas and the counties, 75 counties of the state of Arkansas, and numerous large cities that are all involved in one complaint against the several defendants who are manufacturers or distributors, providers of opioid medication in the state that brought about much of what we believe is the opioid crisis.
So kind of give us some background on how you got involved in this and kind of what this is about, if you don't mind, please, this work that you're doing.
Sure. Well, back in March, I received a call from Mark Hayes. He's the lead attorney at the Arkansas Municipal League. That's the League of Cities. And he and the folks at the Association of Counties were working up a lawsuit against the opioid manufacturers, distributors, the named defendants that we have in the case. And they'd been courting and visiting with the attorney general, could not reach an agreement on how the involvement of all three parties would be working together. And at some point, the attorney general just told them that there wouldn't be any more of that. And so then they started reaching out to elected prosecutors. I was not the first that they contacted, I believe, but I was one of the ones that they were willing to contact and reach out to early on to see if we would represent the state, because we represent the state in thousands of cases every year, in felony cases and in asset forfeiture cases and things like that. So by statute and by constitution, we are representatives of the state to file legal proceedings. And there was some an old statute that they presented to me showing me that I had the authority, which I truly hadn't, to pursue this litigation on behalf of the state. And once I looked at it and made the decision that I could do that and could do it legally, then I was willing to participate if the attorney general wasn't going to get involved. Some things, the way things kind of came down were pretty quick, and so it just resolved in the case getting filed, and it's the state of Arkansas. XRL Scott Ellington is the title of the case, and then it has all the other plaintiffs listed in all the separate counties and cities, and then it's versus the pharmaceutical companies and all of their sort like that's in there as well. So we have this huge lawsuit. We filed it in Crittenden County because that's one of my six counties that I have authority to file state cases in, and filed it in Crittenden County, and we'll pursue it from there.
And why is this important? Why did you want to pursue this?
Well, it's important because you know, the opioid epidemic and the opioid crisis that we're seeing now are people that are addicted to the opioids. Most of them became addicted from legal medicines that were prescribed by physicians. And the defendants would many times interject, well, you know, we just make it, the doctors are the ones that prescribed it, the patients are the ones that took it. We're just a manufacturer, and it's FDA approved. However, if you look back, the FDA has had several encounters with several of these opioid companies where information was not properly vetted, it was not properly presented to doctors, was not properly they were not properly educated through the way that doctors are educated on new medicines. And so folks became addicted to the opioids. And then not only did they become addicted, once the addiction was there, the addiction of the high, then they came dependent on and so it's not just an addiction problem, it's a dependence problem, in that once they folks started taking these opioids and replacing the neurological transmitters in their brain that is a naturally produced endorphins, and it's taken over by the chemically produced opioids, then it's one of those things that the body just became dependent on it, and it does become dependent on it. And people started, once a doctor says, no, I think you're showing signs of addiction, and they quit prescribing the opioid, then they start buying heroin and other illicit drugs to replace that high, to try to get that feeling that they got originally when they first became addicted and dependent upon the opioid medicine. So that's the premise of our case, is that many folks would not be hooked on heroin, hooked on fentanyl, hooked on all these other things had they not had a legitimate prescription, or had the prescriptions not been out there for people to start taking. One of the things, and a lot of your listeners will remember, 20 years ago, if you went to the doctor or went to the dentist or something like that, and had a wisdom tooth cut out, say, if you went to the dentist, you might get 60 pills to get over the pain. Well, what they're finding is really opioids treat acute pain. They're not for long-term pain. And so you get about, studies have shown that Tylenol or acetaminophen or Motrin will do about as good for long-term pain as the opioid if it's treating just the steady long-term nagging of pain, as opposed to an acute pain. That's what opium when it was first used was for surgical procedures, for things like intense pain on the battlefield and things like that. It wasn't for continuously prescribing to help somebody get through day to day with their just who are living with pain. So this addiction has become a dependence, and they're hooked on it, and they have to have it. So that's, and there are studies that that the manufacturers knew some things that they did not inform the doctors and the FDA about. And so that's part of the case and part of what we're talking about.
With this lawsuit that you have filed, what do you hope will be the end result and the end goal? What would you like to see?
Well, our state has suffered millions of dollars of harm from the opioid abuse of folks. Our prisons have had the overpopulation. We have had to employ several hundred new probation officers because of the drug addiction, because now we're trying to not have as many people locked up in prison, or the legislature is trying to keep the prison population down, so they jacked up the number of probation officers we have. I mean, we wouldn't have drug courts. We wouldn't have juvenile drug courts. We wouldn't have to have some of these mental health facilities that are for addiction, people that are addicted to medications. We wouldn't have such a large expense, and so but for the opioid crisis that was ongoing. So we want to be or made whole, and ask for damages to help us get back to where we ought to be. It's kind of like if you remember when the BP oil spill happened and oil started showing up on the beaches. It wasn't just the damage to the beach that day. There's still people out cleaning up beaches occasionally, but if oil washes up. But you know, for a year or two after the oil spill, there were crews every day going along the beach trying to clean up the oil spill and trying to clean up blobs of oil that came. And so it's not only paying for what we've already expended, but try to get the state back to where it ought to be in a pristine position without so many folks being on the addicted to the opioids. And so that's where we're trying to do is increase, have funding for increased education. And we know that it's going to take many years for those that are addicted and dependent on opioids to be, you know, where they can not to try to treat them and get them off of that. So it will take a lot of money for counseling, for treatment, for medications to treat these things. So that's what we're trying. That is the end goal, would be a settlement or a judgment that would put the state back where it needs to be.
Scott Ellington joining us here on KASU. Thank you for your time. Appreciate you very much.
Thank you, buddy. Take care.
Hold on 1 second. For KASU News, I'm Jonathan Reeves.